Amen. Thank you, Father. Tonight I'm going to do a teaching on be zealous for the greater gifts. And before going to a teaching, I had like a little reproof in my, that happened to me recently. So somebody was coming to me for counsel over and over again. They're going through some bad times. And I was praying for them, and then I went back over the fruit of the Spirit is joy. You don't have to wait for joy. The unbeliever has to buy things to get joy. They have to go someplace for joy, but we have joy inside. Produce it. Tap into it. It takes faith. Do it. You already got the joy, and I'd get this pep talk 2 or 3 days in a row. I was very proud of myself. And then 2 days later, I'm sitting beside somebody who is manifesting 3 of my pet peeves over and over and over again. And they won't stop. And pet peeves have always bothered me anyways, because who voted? Because everybody has their own pet peeves. That for some reason you voted. Oh, that's what makes me mad. Oh, that's the one. Oh, and then if they do it, well, they broke that rule. What the heck is a pet peeve? And really, I think we've given place to our old man. That if you pick your nose while I'm eating, well, you broke my rule. But anyways, that's the whole pet peeve thing. I think all of us should evaluate. I have no pet peeves, but back to me. They are doing 3 of the pet peeves. I'm sitting there going. And as I'm sitting there, everybody's guy. Just are you exercising? And I think we should actually do that. Put yourself in a position with one of your pet peeves. And but I was as I was sitting there, I got a word, and it was like, Aaron, what are the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long suffering, and self control. It was the last one, but here Yahweh through Christ, because I was meditating on the Word, he goes, you have self-control, get over this pet peeve thing. I gotta get delivered of that garbage, but anyways, I got reproved, but it was good. I got delivered. Reproof is deliverance. Anyways, be zealous for the greater gifts. And what are the greater gifts? And so, we're gonna go into that, and I'll be able to explain what the greater gifts are. Before I go on to the greater gifts, I'll do kind of talking about, and the greater gifts in all this is really about Yahweh communicating to us. How does he communicate? I thought Dad did a great job saying, it's not that you hear from him, we usually say it, but it's a communication. You perceive something. It's communicated. You know exactly what it is when he talks to you, when he reproves you, or he tells you what to do. And when I was your guy's age, I was always afraid to go to meetings and stuff because I knew he was going to tell me to do something. And it was, well, who told you? I knew what he was communicating. He knows how to communicate. And guess what? I was right. He wouldn't tell me what to do, which was good. But when I guess a little story is about me and my communication, and hopefully that you guys relate to this. So put yourself in the same position. But the earliest communication that I can remember, I was probably 6 or 7. And Mom and Dad had a garage door. The garage door that they had was solid wood. And it wasn't in good shape either, so you couldn't lift it up very easily. So in order for me to get my bike out, I had to go to my big brother. And it was the only way I could ride the bike. I guess I was 6 or 7. And one day Izzy was gone, and I wanted to ride my bike. I sat there, looked at the garage door, here's my nemesis. And I decided to give it a yank, and it fought back, and I dug deep, and I lifted it up. And I had communication. It was communicated. Aaron, one day you're going to be very, very strong. And here's a little 6-year-old. And I had a vision. Because I had a vision. It was just communicated. I didn't see anything. But it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, like on the Arsenio Hall show. They're talking about him. And I made a mental note to myself. One day, I will tell everybody this is where it started. I'm 6 or 7. You know, I never told anybody that. And here, what you guys don't know is that even when I was in 6th grade, people called me skin and bones. I was about that big. So Izzy was a big athlete, taller, stronger. I wasn't, but Yahweh communicated. And I always knew it. Other people didn't know it, but then where were you the first time he was communicating something to you? Well, he told you. He said, this is going to happen, or hang in there. The next big occurrence of a communication was, this is a little bit different, but I was 16 years old. My mom gave me a book. It led me into speaking in tongues for the first time. I went downstairs, I read the book, I did it, and I felt incredible, and the scriptures don't guarantee anybody to have any kind of manifestations or goosebumps or anything. It doesn't say you're going to get those. I did. I felt like somebody took me and they dunked me into clean water and I came back up and I was crystal clear later. It was the best thing ever. And I know that was right before my 16th birthday. Why? Because I got pulled over 2 days after my 16th birthday and got a ticket. And I was speaking in tongues when I got pulled over. And my friend was sitting next to me that I was possessed. Nobody told me what speaking in tongues was, but the spirit inside me told me what to do. It was comedic. I'm speaking in tongues out loud. He's looking over me. I don't remember anything. And then my buddy goes, Aaron, what are you doing? But I'm speaking in tongues. I just knew I was in big trouble. I needed help. The police officer let me off. When the police officer let me off the hook, my friend Greg was looking at me going, what the heck is going on? I go, we'll talk about it later. But anyways, it was a big communication. Yahweh told me what to do. He communicated. He didn't tell me, but it was the spirit inside. My mom taught me how to not just speak, led me into speaking in tongues. But since it was there, I had the tool that Yahweh could incorporate that quick and I could see the results without anybody even explaining it. Another big time of communication, so it's reflect over yourself. 13, 14, what was the first time you had your first communication on your prairie or wherever, or dad with Nani and playing pianos or whatever? So insert yourself. The next big one, when I was at K-State, I went to K-State and I'm about 19 years old. Everybody's acting like natural men, like in college. I'm trying. I couldn't. I had this guilt. I thought I had a guilt problem. What it was Christ, his inner witness. It's the biggest advantage I ever had. I thought it was a weakness. I felt so guilty. I couldn't get away from it. And I'm living in sin with people living doing sin everywhere. And Dad was sending tapes. Dad said, if I sent you a Christian tape, would you listen to them? Well, of course I would. So one thing I always had with my dad is I'd go to him to teachings, and when we go on long road trips, he put in teachings. I was thinking about that recently, how important that was, because when we go on a road trip, Dad put in a teaching, I listened. So I was listening to tapes, and I put a tape in, and here I'm in and out of the pits, in the natural man, the new man, getting delivered over and over again. And finally, I felt like I got clean after listening to a John Lenn teaching. And he said, 2 Corinthians 5:15, for the love of the Christ constrains us, having judges, that one on behalf of all died, hence they all died, and on behalf of all died they, he, in order that those who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who died on behalf of them. I got down with the computer, or listened to it, I printed it off, he died for me so I should live for him. It's the first time I printed it, put it on my door, and I was a little uncomfortable because, for whatever reason, I got back in my bed, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I'm in a bad spot. I'm living like in a jungle where there's no light, and actually the real problem was me. I knew, and all of us, like with cigarettes or anything, you know, your old man gonna go, I'm in a bad spot. I'm set up to lose. So as I sat there on my little bitty tiny bed in my college room, I sat there and I cried out for help. What do I do? But it was the first time I remember crying out for help, and I heard it was communicated, go home. What? And it was so peaceful. I was like, that felt great. Wow, go home. Then I went, no, I can't go home. I got a lease. I got friends. I got a reputation. Everybody's going to hate me. I can't go home. I had all these excuses and these things. And then all of a sudden, I sat back trying to analyze. I go, wait a minute, where did the peace go? I lost that peace. I want that peace. I want that peace. How did I get that peace back? Okay, where was I when I had that peace? Oh, yeah, I asked for help, and he told me to go home. How do you feel now? I feel peaceful again. Well, I can't go back. And this thing came over and over again, but I knew what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to go home. How was I going to do it? I didn't know. I was like, well, I don't care. I'm going to do it. I was like, I'm going to tell my roommates, and I knew they were going to be upset because we had a lease. We got a lease. You came home. Oh, not my problem. I'll figure it out. And I'm doing it afraid, but I did it. And what got me through that semester, I was like, what am I going to do when I go home? Because I can't be around my friends. So, well, I'll hang out with my dad. That's what I did before I had friends. We'll go catch some snakes and fishing. That's what I'll do. So I ran every day. But anyways, when I was getting delivered, and the purpose, I guess, is communicating. The next big impact that happened in my life was when I got a personal prophecy. I went to a meeting with Dad, and a guy came out of, and he asked if he could pray for me. And the guy read my mail. And for some reason, what he was saying to me melted everything inside me. I didn't even know half the stuff he was even talking about. Still got the tape though, because he handed me a tape God bless you. Anyway, he said, I'm going to be teaching people. I'm going to be traveling the world. I'm trying to stay out of bars. I'm trying not to chase girls. I'm trying to stay free from all that bad stuff. To me, being a good Christian would be in the back of a room, mind my own business, read the word, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls to do. That's the type of thing. That was an excellent Christian. And then Yahweh called me out. And I could, but I had the tape. And when I would get to the depression again, I would listen to it. I'd listen to it again. And I didn't know what it was, but it was communicated because Yahweh was communicating to me. It was that prophecy. And I was like, for some reason, I knew that it was going to be true. The next big thing happened, the communication was going to Africa for the first time. What you guys don't know is before the communication to go to Africa, all the horrible things happened with my divorce, and I had an additional $45,000 of debt, an additional $45,000 of additional debt. Also, this is a 2008-2009 mortgage crisis. It's a bad time for our business. And I'm not telling anybody because Yahweh is my sufficiency. He's going to take care of this, right? And now that I was sitting at a table at lunch, we're talking about a thing. My dad looks over and he goes, if anybody goes to Africa, you should go to Africa. I'm like, why in the world would you say that? I was insulted and I was very upset with it. But it was a big, big, momentous thing in my own life. But it was a communication. When I came back from Africa a year later, I doubled my income. But here was Yahweh calling me out. So those are my communications up until, probably 30 years old. Why did I not speak in tongues until I was 16? Was it available?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just never did it. Well, I know one reason I didn't. I never asked anybody. I was around people that spoke in tongues all the time. I never asked. And even when Mom gave me the book, I don't think I asked for it. Was it always available? Yeah.
Yeah, but I think things are different now because we've led the kids into doing it.
Well, no, no. I'm talking about scripturally.
Yeah.
Can Ruth speak in tongues now?
Yeah.
Absolutely. 5-year-old, 6-year-old, I'm 16. What I'm trying to show is that I had 16 years of my life that I'd never had something, and it could have been so much easier, but it was always there. Now, that's not news to you and I, but when I traveled, and we were on a music boat, and I met a girl, the hooker for Jesus, I got to meet her when she was single, and she had her best friend, and we were on a boat, she had a Joyce Meyer's book, and I said, hey, Andy, I like your Joyce Meyer book, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. You speak in tongues? I go, of course I speak in tongues. My friend over here, she's been waiting for 2 or 3 years. And I said, maybe if we go on this boat, she's going to speak in tongues. We're going to be praying that the Holy Spirit comes, and she's finally going to get it. And I went, you want to get it right now? And Andy looked at me like, it doesn't work that way. I looked at her friend and said, you want to speak in tongues right now? I guarantee you'll speak in tongues right now. Annie was insulted. But her friend, 5 minutes later, was speaking in tongues. And Annie, because of the way she was brought up, no, this is something somebody else, some sort of outside thing has to happen to get this. And it was right there. And here's Annie going, what just happened? The next big thing that happened in my life was the prophecy. I mean, that was huge. But why wasn't I zealous to prophesy for the first 20 years? Well, we didn't even know it was available. Right? But it was available. But just because we're ignorant of something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Right? And what's the Hebrews 11:6? Anybody know what that means?
Nope.
You don't have to turn there. Without faith, it is impossible to be well pleased. And we're supposed to be diligently seeking them out. So when I started this off, it's about be zealous for the greater gifts. Now I'm gonna play an audio book. It's about 9 minutes. It's a testimony. And I was gonna try to recite it, and I think it'd be better for you guys just to hear from the author. So let me make sure I got this right. And so when I say that, why didn't I speak until I was 16 or probably, we didn't know it was available. It's not to knock anybody down, but it's to say, if there's something else that's available,
tell me.
Wouldn't you wanna know? Okay, yeah, I would wanna know, okay. So let's see.
It's like flight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flight's always been available, but we didn't have it until 100 years ago.
And so I've got to do that with a lot of people speaking in tongues. I go, like the one guy on the side of the highway. He's a Pentecostal. I said, did you speak in tongues? No, I never got that gift. I go, you want it right now? He goes, you can't do that. How can you give me that gift? I go, you want it right now? This is on the side of Central, rush hour traffic, 5:30 in the evening, 100 degree weather. Let him write and speak after a prophecy. It was available. Let's see if I get this right.
These experiences of the miraculous, so rare for most people. What if heaven actually wanted you to experience them on a regular basis? And what if ordinary people like you and I are invited to partner with God to deliver them to others? If these questions put a picture in your mind of people everywhere walking around expecting to be a part of God moments on a regular basis, you're not far wrong. A mysterious encounter. Let me tell you about the mysterious encounter I had in a restaurant outside Denver with a waiter named Jack. I call it mysterious because on the surface everything looks so ordinary. Five friends at a table for six, waiters coming and going, voices clatter, just what you'd expect in a busy restaurant. But by the time dinner was over, we all knew beyond a doubt that we'd been present for a divine appointment. It was as if God himself had walked up and said, "Thank you for saving me a place. I've been wanting to do something for Jack." Here's what happened. During the course of the meal, Jack had served us well. But apart from the usual exchanges about the menu and our orders, we hadn't spoken much. Around the table, meanwhile, the conversation revolved around some of Jesus' more extreme teachings. Ones like, "Ask and you will receive. And it's more blessed to give than receive." During the conversation, I felt unexpectedly nudged by heaven to try something I'd never done before. At the same time, I sensed it was meant to involve Jack. My test involved putting $300 at risk. Now, don't let the amount throw you. The money wasn't mine. And believe it or not, the person who was letting me carry it around was expecting me to give it away. But more about that in a later chapter. When Jack came to refill the water glasses, I posed a question. "Have you ever heard the saying, it's more blessed to give than receive?" "Yes, I have," he said. "Do you believe it?" "Well, sure, I guess I do," he said, looking puzzled. "Good," I said. "I have an interesting opportunity for you." I placed $100 bill on the table. "You have an unusual choice, Jack. You can either receive this $100 as a gift, not a tip." I paused. I definitely had Jack's attention, and the two couples with me didn't appear to be breathing. I looked at Jack, or you could say no to the money, and instead give each of us a dessert. But this would be you buying the dessert, not the restaurant, and you can't do both things, and there's no right or wrong. So what would you like to do? Give or receive? Jack just stood there holding the water pitcher. He asked twice if I was serious. Then finally he said, "I'll take the $100. True to my word, I handed him the bill. "Thank you," he said, and then he walked back to the kitchen. After he left and my friends had started breathing again, we all tried to figure out what had just happened. Was my unusual test about giving and receiving even fair? What was Jack thinking now, and what in the world was he saying to the crew in the kitchen? All the while, I was feeling increasingly uncomfortable. You see, I had earlier slipped another $200 under my plate. If the waiter had chosen to buy his desserts and not take the $100, believing that it's more blessed to give than receive, I was going to give him the hidden $200. I had really hoped he would make the self-sacrificial choice because I strongly sensed that God wanted to encourage him with the larger sum. The next time he came around, I said, "I'm curious, Jack. Do you feel like you made the right choice?" "Absolutely," he said excitedly. "In fact, it was a miracle. You see, I'm a single dad." pulled out his wallet and proudly showed us a photo of his 3-year-old son. "Isn't he something?" he said with a big smile. Then he explained his reaction. "I have to work 3 jobs during 4 days of the week, just so that I can take care of my son the other 3 days when my ex-wife works. But I'm having a tough time making ends meet. Just this morning, I had to mail my alimony check of $100, even though my account was down to 0. Driving to work this afternoon, I actually said, 'God, please, I need $100, and I need it tonight.' Well, I was speechless, and so were my friends. How could we have known of our waiter's crisis, or of his prayer for $100? Then it was my turn to explain. I told that even if he decided to give instead of receive, I plan to give him the $100. But now that I know your story, I agree. You made the right choice. Suddenly I knew what needed to happen next. You have to know, none of this money was mine, I told him. The owner wanted me to pass it on as kind of a message to the right person, and I'm sure that person was you. I reached under the plate for the other 200. God wanted you to have the $100, and he wants you to have this too. What God thinks is normal. What just happened here? Let's break it down. Jack drove to work that evening to wait tables, but he brought with him a secret pressing need. I had come to Colorado from Atlanta on business and ended up having dinner with friends in Jack's restaurant. Unbeknownst to Jack or my friends, I was prepared to meet someone's financial need with money that wasn't mine. I'll explain more about that in chapter 10. By the end of the evening, God had used one person to deliver something that met a big need for another person in a way that was clearly miraculous to everyone involved. You might react to what happened around the table differently. You might think, for example, well, I don't have a $100 bill lying around, and if I did, why would I give it to a stranger? For that matter, how would I figure out who to give it to? We'll look closely at these reactions and more just like them in the pages ahead. You'll see, I promise, that God is just as likely to have plans for $5 or $20 as he is for $100, and that he never asks you or me to serve him in a way that doesn't fit us personally and perfectly. For now, though, put yourself in the story of our dinner with Jack. Imagine how you would have felt leaving that table and knowing you had played an active role in delivering God's provision for a young man's desperate need. Better yet, imagine a lifestyle of such encounters, where God works through you in unexplainable ways to do a miracle, and on a regular basis. This kind of life is not only possible, but is what God thinks of as normal when he thinks of you. You see, he didn't place you on this earth to notice him at work only once or twice in your whole life. He did not create you to consistently miss out on the wonder of his presence and power. The truth is, you were born to live a supernatural life doing God's work by God's power. You were born to walk out your door each morning, believing that God will use you to deliver a necessary miracle today. This audiobook will show you how.
The two other testimonies are on there, and then I'll give you the testimony how I even found that. And so, be zealous for the greater gifts. Well, that's the theme. The next two testimonies on here. Here's a guy going, why are the miracles and supernatural events now prophesied? Man, we got to be 90% prophesying, random prophesying, and it's a guarantee. But so we're there with that. We do, and when we give prophecies to people at whether it's on the strangers or waiters or waitresses, we're doing the same thing. Can we do more? Is there more that we can do? Are we maximizing our full potential? And at least me, I don't think so. In his another testimony, he said he was giving a speech. He was teaching a bunch of pastors, a whole group of people there, and paying him. He did the prayer of Jabez. I never read it. I don't know anything about it. Actually, when I heard about it, it irritated me because everybody was, oh, the prayer of Jabez is a book about one prayer. No, I'm not interested. Now I'm going to have to read it or listen to it. But he was doing, but the thing is this author is saying, could it be that Yahweh's more willing to intervene in lives? Is it supposed to be four or five random acts in your whole entire life that you, oh, I remember that one time, I mean, him and I, he showed up. And he's going, no. He goes, I think it's, he's given us the invitation. It's us that aren't reaching out and letting him more into our life. What does the scripture say? And so, and what he does, at least with his testimony, is he's backing it up. So here it was, he's doing a teaching, not a teaching, he shared out the prayer of Jabez. It's a professional teaching. There's all these people in there. And as he's out there talking about it, God, Yahweh wants to bless people. You got the spirit inside. You are the Debir, the Naos, the Debir of Yahweh, right? He's got, it's the Holy of Holies. He's inside you. Does he have messages? He's got something for everybody in this room. And he's trying to explain, to activate people. And as he's sitting there, he calls it a nudge. And I think it's a good word. As he's sitting there, he's looking out and he keeps seeing somebody in the middle, and he gets a nudge to go talk to him. And he goes, no, I'm not talking to him. He makes it, he's having this, no, I'm not doing it. He goes back to his teaching. He's going in this thing. He looks back up. He gets another nudge. There's the guy again. And he wrestles with it until finally he's like, he stops his whole professional teaching, walks up to the guy that he got the nudge for. He says, hey, how are you doing? I'm so-and-so, who are you? And the guy looks at me, he's really insulted. He stopped everything and very uncomfortably. He came up and talked to him in the middle of this thing. He goes, is everything okay? And the guy looks up at him like, everything's fine. Trust me. So he goes, whoops, must have missed that one. Turns around, walks, goes back up to the podium. You think he's embarrassed?
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at you. Wow, you missed that one. Think about pulling somebody out of a wheelchair. Whoop. But you miss 100% you don't take, right? And how are you ever going to get better? And it was prophesied Audie Baker was going to heal the blind. And I don't remember the story, but I think she started praying and laying hands on blind people for like a year. Mm-hmm. Now it's almost a guaranteed thing. Mm-hmm. She said, okay, I got to work this thing out. Or like Izzy said about Oral Roberts, says he would use his faith like a toolbox. Yeah. We got stuff. Yahweh is fully equipped. We just don't know how to use a lot of his equipment. But this guy, he goes back and he's teaching, and all of a sudden he gets the nudge for the same guy again. He's like, no! He wrestles with it, and finally he grabs a chair, slides it up next to the same guy. Now everybody in the room is going, what are you doing? Nobody's happy about this. And he sits across from this guy and goes, you're not telling the truth. What's going on? And this guy looks at him like this. It obviously is an audio book, and I read it on the way to Kenya once. And the guy goes, how did you know? And the author says, I didn't know. Yahweh knows. And he's trying to help you. What's going on? And in the middle of this group, the guy goes, you don't know this, but before I came to this meeting, I called my wife. I said, I'm out of the ministry. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to go to this last meeting. I'm done with this thing. And then he went into his testimony. I'm a businessman. I was a successful businessman. I walked away from it because I got called out into the ministry. But now my wife and I got $16,000 in debt. It's not working. I'm going back to work. I quit. And then he obviously he's crying and it's emotional. Everybody's going, oh my goodness, look at this. This is mighty works. Right? And another neat thing, when he goes into this, he goes, look, the Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with big words. The Apostle Paul said, I came to you with fear and trembling. But did the Apostle Paul do what Yahweh told him to do?
Yeah.
So there's going to be times if the Apostle Paul was fear and trembling, what's a little peon like me going to do? Ooh. And I've had that. But he did it. But anyways, the guy goes, as he's, I can imagine he's probably crying. The guy goes, well, the teacher said, but did Yahweh call you out of the ministry? And the guy put his head down. And he says, this is something he's wrestling with. He goes, no, he didn't. He goes, then why are you leaving? He goes, because it's just too hard. It's not working. And they're sitting there, and at this moment, I'll let you get the book. One other businessman or somebody in the audience says, I got $1,000. Who else got money out here? Come on, this is ridiculous. At the same meeting, $16,000 got raised just like that. They gave it to the guy, get back in there. What a moment. What's neat about that testimony is that's what Greg Phelps did to me back in 1998. He got a nudge to go talk to some kid in a WSU PE shirt, probably. Sitting there, and he comes up, the only reason why I let him pray for me is because I wasn't going to back down, because he prayed for Rachel, he prayed for Dina, and I'm not a sissy. Oh, my goodness, I'm freaking out. But he nudged and he activated me. How many of those people are surrounding us? There's another time where there's a carpenter on here. Now, the guy, he's an excellent builder. He does all these things, but he doesn't do well with people. And he goes, and he doesn't do anything with relationships. You leave him alone with a broken thing or a broken that, he can figure it out. He can do anything, just not, with people skills, he's not doing good. But he went to one of the seminars, the Prayer of Jabez or something, and this carpenter was going somewhere. Oh, he's going to go pick up windows. And as he goes to pick up windows, he sees somebody, strikes up small talk, and the guy starts venting about his wife and his marriage. The guy's venting. But the carpenter's going into it with an intention of being a messenger, of delivering. Yahweh has messages and messages and messages. And so as he's sitting there with the carpenter venting, he's sitting there and he's like, okay, what should I do here? And then he went through some of this, I guess there's a whole course, and he says, how can I help you with this? So here was another question that he had, and the carpenter looks at him, the window person, and goes, you can tell me what to do. My marriage is on the rocks. I don't want to lose my marriage, but it doesn't look like it's going to work. And the carpenter guy goes, go get a pen and paper. And so the guy goes to get a pen and paper, and then the testimony was, says the guy was stalling. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to, he says, go get a pen and paper, then I'll tell you how to save your marriage, is what he said.
Wow.
And he was stalling. He didn't know, what am I going to say? But he went into it going, I'm not going into it alone. Yahweh knows what he needs. I know Yahweh. He will show up. He will show up. And if he doesn't show up, if you mess up, he's proud. Everybody's going to be better, right? Especially, we've all messed up with other believers. They know you. They know, okay. But man, great job, you know. Even when Peter sunk on the water, man, at least he walked. The guy comes back. By the time the guy comes back, he gets what's called a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Says, tell him to go home and make his bed. That's ridiculous. You can imagine. Would you wrestle with that? Oh, you're going to show me how to save my marriage. And the guy comes back with a pen and paper. And the guy goes, he was actually stalling. And he goes, you probably won't even need the pen and paper. I know what you need to do. And the guy goes, what? He goes, go home and make your bed. The guy, the window guy looks at him and goes, how did you know? And the guy, what did I know? And he says, me not making the bed has been a problem in my marriage since we've been married. I'm the last person to get up. I never make the bed. My wife says, me not making the bed is a summation of everything that's wrong in our marriage. And the guy goes, I'm going home right now at lunch. I'm going to go make that bed. Thank you. And so, and then what are greater works? And so I keep saying that because I didn't know the answer to that. What are the greater works? Now, Melania, Isaiah, I don't know if you guys know what this thing is.
It's a radio.
Yeah, I think it's probably Don and Tim's.
Clark, the radio.
Now, what's neat about this, and especially with Tim being a radio operator...
This patented technology is designed
to pick your car, then pick your payment from now until Saturday.
So, flexible includes sleep.
Okay. Glad it wasn't anything embarrassing. Why was I able to change different radio stations? What was I doing?
Tuning
what?
The frequency.
To what?
To what would wherever there was a station playing, where there was something coming in.
It says, Tim got to explain to me radio waves and all kinds of that stuff, and I probably got about that much of it. This whole room is full of radio waves. All this thing did was tune into certain radio waves that has that radio station. We got every radio wave in this room in Wichita. Well, why aren't we hearing it? Or are you tuning into it? When we're talking about doing greater works, when we're going into walking into somebody's house, we're walking into fellowship, we could make an effort to take a knee to say, you, this is ridiculous. You got something for everybody in here. Who do I minister to? That's tuning in. If we don't tune in, he's already done it. And this guy was talking, he keeps going over, he goes, Yahweh has already made the invitation. This is the invitation. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. We are commanded to lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. We're commanded to do it. Why aren't we doing it? And now this is knocking anybody down. We're all a work in progress. Tuning in. And that's what Greg Phelps did with me. I'm going to turn to, let's see here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So look at it. Oh, and then as you guys are turning there, what was so neat about this teaching, what was all my heart, and I'm trying to, it's great to do a teaching because I have to start tuning in. What do you want to share? Because sometimes I'll try to force a teaching and you guys will see it. There's no flowing. And it's like, okay, I don't want to look like a fool and I want to help people. What do you want to teach? I got to tune in. I got to listen to him. I got to go here. I got to do this. And whenever he communicates to me, it's not easy. He gives me a little bit. Go this way. Take a left. Read this chapter. And a lot of times I'm getting ready to do a teaching. I start with this teaching, and it turns out to be that teaching. I thought this was going to be... he does whatever he wants, right? But this is what I was interested in. This is... What is this guy's name? Branham. William Branham. Pretty neat guy. He did a lot of mighty works. John G. Lake. Really neat book right here. Now, we have things that they don't have. We have more accuracy than they have. We went to Andrew Womack, one of his teachings, and one of his rallies, and he doesn't know scriptures. He's quoting bad translations, and we're looking at all this, but then he led about 120 people into speaking in tongues. Name another minister doing that. I've never led 120 people. And we got done with this, and I was like, I was expecting a great teaching. And I looked over at Izzy, and Izzy goes, man, this just shows you how powerful faith is. That guy doesn't know anything. But he's got faith down. I was like,
that's true.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. How much more should we excel at faith when we have right doctrine and scriptures? We're actually reading right translations. These guys didn't have the right translations as far as we know. They had the doctrines of men. But what else did they have?
Thanks.
They had mighty works in faith. They did things I've never done. And seeking greater works and greater works. What are greater works? Rhetorical question. We're going to get there. But where I was going was, when you're reading about this and listening to God's generals, thank you, Dad, for finding Robert Lierner. And listen to this guy who's going to his testimony, talking about from when he was a kid, Yahweh talking to him, and all of a sudden I had that stirring up. Yeah, when Yahweh first talked to me, and I had those four or five different instances that were on my heart. I'll go, oh, for some reason I'm supposed to bring that up. And then yesterday morning, I've already had most of the teaching. I'm sitting there brushing my hair, getting ready for work, and all we go, oh yeah, well, you were born for this. That book, Rachel needs to read that. And then all of a sudden, I bet you they got an audio book. All right. You were born for this audio book. $17. Go over and I did come back. Just download it. Start playing it. That was what I listened to. And what he was teaching is these four or five moments in my life, why were there only four or five big moments in my life? There could have been more. But there should have been more. What do we have left in our life? How much time do we have left to give, to walk out on water, to deliver people, to do things? Because Yahweh wants to speak to us every day. He wants mighty works every day. And just imagine changing people's lives wherever we're going. And you know what? We are doing it better than anybody I know. But there's always more. He's always got more. And you know what? He always rewards us. It's always scary. Oh, I don't know if I want to give any more. That's such a commitment. But then look at every big monumental thing you've done in your life, being obedient. Do you regret it? I was thinking about this with me getting delivered from K-State. A couple years later, do you know what happened? They're one of the most charismatic guys at all of our high school. He was the best looking guy, the funniest guy, but he was a natural man. Not a Christian. He got converted. He started coming to our Bible study. And he's coming to our Bible study. I'm teaching the Word. What do you know? What do you know? This guy, I'm teaching. And then finally, JD and I were talking. And we're talking about something, and I go, how did you get into the Word? He goes, dude, don't you remember what happened? I go, what? Aaron, when you left K-State, you flipped out. You wigged out. Everybody was freaking out about you. What the hell? Did you hear about what happened to Aaron? He became a Bible thumper. He's the Bible bleeder. He's this, and all these rumors about this guy, he just got... And JD said, I knew there was a way out. This guy could... I didn't know that. JD was the one that started witnessing to Izzy at K-State. And then the part of Izzy getting back to Wichita. He's got Shauna now. Man, I can't talk about butterfly effects, and all of us have those types of things. I didn't know it was on the line. Tonight, before this teaching, I was thinking about Greg Phelps and this teaching. When I went to Africa, I came back. I was exhausted. I've been ministering to people, freaked out. I had a number of physical problems because I hadn't drank water in a week, enough water. Dad sent me a video. And he goes, hey, I found a video of, I didn't know there was a video of Greg Phelps. So I thought all I had was my tape. This is a bootleg of my own tape. And Dad sent us an email, and I didn't want to watch it. I was exhausted, but honor your mother and your father, right? You always have a choice to obey. I started watching the prophecy. Didn't know that there was it. And as I watch it, I'd realize I just got back from Africa. It was 11 years later. And there, I just came into fruition. And it wasn't just because it all added up. It was what happened inside here. This is a communication. Today, before this teaching, I went over to Dad's house. I got done with a little bit early with work and the stuff. And I said, what year was that when Greg... Well, I thought his name was Greg Ferris. Well, it was Phelps. Didn't have his name right. I wrote him a thank you letter, but it was to Greg Phelps. Or Ferris. I went over to Dad's house and I said, what year was it? And Dad goes, I'll go find out. Dad went and found out when the prophecy was activating me. You know the time between me getting called out of the pit at K-State and being in that prophecy? You know what the time was? I thought it was 2 years. It was 6 months. It was 6 months getting called out of the pit of the den of iniquity to being activated and be a called leader. Traveling the world. This is a responsibility. My dad wanted me to play the guitar at Bible study. That was stressing me out. And I go, man, we can't write this stuff. But I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, or chapter 12, verse 7. I thought I had a page. No, I don't. 2 Corinthians.
189.
Thank you.
I see.
So I think... see. 1 Corinthians, excuse me. It is 1 Corinthians. Thanks, Dad. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 11. Mom, I'll ask you to read that, but at the very beginning. The word gifted in chapter 1 has been added to the text. This is spiritually gifted. There's a couple other things in this, but let's see here. Okay. Verse 7. But unto each one is giving the manifesting of the Spirit. To each one of us. What are the manifestations of the Spirit? And he's going to go into breaking down the different manifestations. For unto one, it's going to be through the Spirit, a word of wisdom. This is Strong's number 4678. It's called Sophia. It's an easy one to remember, right? What is a word of wisdom? And it's not real clear. I did have it here. The word of wisdom. Wisdom is going to be wisdom. It's Sophia, Strong's number 4680. Wisdom, broad, full of intelligence, used of knowledge of a variety of diverse matters. That's information, knowing who to witness to and how to witness to them. The next one's going to be a word of knowledge. And I try to dissect the two. I can't really separate word of knowledge and word of wisdom very well. But it says, but unto another, the word of knowledge. That's gnosis, the Strong's number 1108. It's going to be knowledge signifies in general intelligence and understanding. One of the things about John G. Lake and Voice of Healing Branham and David Remy, do you know what they do that I got to get the witness? The healings, obviously, that's just the biggest mark, easiest mark anything there is. Yeah, I want to be a part of that. They do what's called the Word of Knowledge and Word of Wisdom. So that I went to go visit David Remy. I wanted to see somebody get healed. And when I learned, I told David, I said, I want to see you healing. I'm so excited about seeing your faith. And David went, well, Aaron, it's not necessarily my faith. Most of the big healings, it's the other people's faith. That's not what I wanted to hear. Yeah. I thought I was traveling there to get a form and then take it back here so I can start doing it. And he goes, no, Aaron, it's the people. They have the faith. And I was confused. But then when I went to the meetings, you know what David would do during the meetings? Now, these are my words. As people came in, he'd be looking into the crowd going, who is it? What's the message? Just like that you were born for this? Give me the nudge. Who is it? There's somebody here that needs something. And then David would say, and he'd be praying. He goes, okay, there's somebody in here. They just had a daughter die. I need to pray for you. Who is it? And sometimes it's neat with David because sometimes he's done it and they didn't stand up. And then he'll give them 4 or 5 chances. How many times were you called out in church or something? I'm not raising my hand. I'm not standing up.
Yeah.
But he would do it. And you know what happened when they would stand up? The faith of the whole congregation went from here to here. And then they would come up to give some testimonies. And then somebody else would, I got healed too. And another person said, I did. And the faith in the whole room would go from here to here. And then David's faith would meet their faith. And now this is my observation. But John G. Lake would do the same thing. Branham, people would come in and he goes, there's somebody in a wheelchair in here. You're just in a car accident. What is that? It's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And that's one thing I've never really exercised. And I want to, because I want to do the greater gifts. We've got word of knowledge, word of wisdom, verse 9, faith. Some people are going to be really gifted in faith, the gift of healings, energies, mighty works, prophesying, discrimination of the spirit. It's pretty neat. It does say discrimination, not discernment. That word can be discernment, but it's an interesting word. As Strong's number 1253. Up to different one kinds of tongues and to another translations of tongues. And it goes into this. So, Melania, can every human being sing? Well, for the most part. Are all gifted in singing?
No.
Okay. Can all of us teach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are all of us gifted in teaching?
No.
Okay. Can all of us listen?
Yes.
Are all of us gifted in listening? Probably not me. But so there's some people, you're going to be gifted in certain things, but just because you're gifted in one does not mean, oh, I got one little job, that's all I'm going to do here. Yahweh's got stuff everywhere. And at the very end of this verse, we'll see verse 31. Before we go there, does anybody know what 1 Corinthians 14:39 says?
Be zealous to prophesy.
Excellent, thank you. Be zealous to prophesy. And you know what? There's one thing that Telios Ministries, I don't know anybody, I've never seen anybody like us. Ministering prophecies, delivering messages, writing. I can call somebody saying, I need help now. Prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. Thank you. A plus. I don't know anything better in that area. But word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I would say right now, David Ramey is probably the biggest I know about that. But it says, be zealous to prophesy. Other translations in 1 Corinthians 14:39. I guess I'll go over there. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, don't forbid people to speak in tongues. Don't tell people not to speak in tongues. And be zealous or covet to prophesy. Rotherham says be zealous. Other ones say covet. Now, and I've memorized that one. I didn't memorize this one. What's verse 31? Sean, would you read that?
Be envious, however, of the greater gifts. And yet, a much more excellent way unto you, I point out.
Now, envious, greater work, greater gifts, what does that mean? And I never quite understood. If somebody speaks in tongues or they give a prophecy, but if somebody pulls somebody out of a casket, this is my own thinking. What do you think is the greater gift?
Casket.
That's what I would have thought. Leading somebody into tongues and interpretation and being saved or rebuking a tornado. What's the greater gift? Well, natural thinking. But what does the scripture say? What does the invitation say? The Greek word for envious is Strong's number 2206. It is the same word in 1 Corinthians 14:39. And so when it says be envious, that's the same word, be zealous. And it can be covet too. So it's zelo. I think it's zelo. So be zealous, covet what? Do a greater gift. What's the greater gift, right? The greater gift, the greater is Strong's number 2909. What does that word mean, right? Let's see here. That word is Creighton. Strong number 2909. Anyway, I have to think I had it right here.
Wait a minute. What word is
greater? Greater. So what is greater? What is the greater the gift? Ready? The more useful. More serviceable. More advantageous. So what is the greater gift? It's whatever's necessary at the time. But if I've never exercised pulling somebody out of a casket, I don't even have that in my toolbox. I've never used that. What is that thing? It's a pneumatic tool. Vroom, vroom. What is it for? Lug nuts. Oh, okay. But we are supposed to be going through these things. What is the greater gifts? We're supposed to be exercising all of them. And what are you not good at? You know what? I went into bodybuilding for a while. It didn't work out. But one good thing I got from it is you had to focus on your weaknesses for long periods of time. It's very depressing. But that's what successful people do. You work on your weaknesses. When it comes to the manifestations of the Ruah, what are we really good at? Acknowledge it. Pat ourselves on the back. What are we not doing at all? I need to be envious to the greater gifts. I've never really exercised those things. I would like to raise somebody from the dead. I'd like to straighten a leg. I would like to open up a blind eye. I'd like to give somebody a new eye. I'd like to, like Nick, the Australian guy with no arms or legs, they buried him in sand and made him arms and legs. Because all things are possible. At least they tried, right? I would like to be a part of that when it works too. But what am I learning as I'm being envious of this, being envious or being zealous or coveting those things, word of knowledge and word of wisdom are usually always a part of it. Unless you have mighty, mighty works. Now there are some, Branham, he says he was called. Now there are certain people that just mighty, mighty works. I am not one of those guys. But what we can do is we can walk into rooms, we can walk into places with an intention to say, I need a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Who is it? Who needs help? Knowing, just like that carpenter going, I don't know what, but I know he's in the room. And for that guy to go, go get a pen and paper and I'll tell you how to fix your marriage. Wow! Is that faith?
Yeah.
Even if it didn't work, do you think Jesus Christ, Yehoshua would be like, you didn't get it that time, but you will. But Heidi Baker, it did work. She didn't quit. If you don't speak in tongues out loud, this used to bother me when some people wouldn't speak in tongues and interpret out loud. Do you know why? If you never exercise it and you need to manifest it to help somebody, you're not going to be any good at it.
Yeah.
But if you do exercise it, okay, whether it's prophecy, tongues with interpretation, supposed to be prophecy, doing those things. But if we're never exercising laying hands, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and these other things, what it really looks like, a lot of the healings, they come in after the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So I think we should be walking in intentionally going, okay, I want to start getting really good at these things and go, there's somebody in here that's got a debt they're not paying. And they're ignoring it. And that's it. When you want to talk about it, come talk to me and we'll go pray about it. And you'll see that a lot of times that you would be with, and when Yahweh gives it, he doesn't give the whole thing. So it's just one little thing. You want to pray about it, then they get together. The last thing with this is, tune in your, if you're not tuning in your radio frequencies, I've never done that. I've never went into a meeting going, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, because I know there's signals in here. I know that God, He came to give life and life more abundantly. He wants us to prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. He died for us so we should live for Him. I see sick people, hurt people everywhere. So who is it? Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Start tuning this thing in. Start doing it as a family. Okay, let's tune these things in before you come home. Before you come home, you guys have roommates. I don't have roommates. Discernment of spirits. I'm coming home. You got some teenagers in your house now. That could be a war zone.
Yeah.
Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Go out to eat. Okay, got it. Whatever it is. But then you'll get the confirmation. You'll get the confirmation. We'll get better at it. Making notes. Go, okay, I'm getting a little bit better at these things. And then y'all will meet us. And the one big thing about this is that the guy that said, go get a pen and paper, he didn't just pull that out of his hat. He was taught by this teacher saying, give Yahweh time. When you're going to walk out on water and you're going to deliver a message, you're going to heal somebody, give him time, don't rush it. Go. And so I asked David this morning, I said, would you send me a message? I said, about a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, how it turned out to be something really big. He goes, absolutely. So he sent me some neat things. He said he was at a meeting. This is a recent one. I have a recording if you guys want to hear it. You get to hear his voice. It's a lot better than me recording. He was at a meeting. And they're singing and stuff. And he goes, okay, there's somebody in here that's having a serious back problem and you need help. And then like a guy named James comes up. He goes, what's going on? He goes, blah, blah, I have a back problem. Anyways, he lays down, one leg shorter than another. Now David's got really got that in his repertoire of lengthening legs. So Heidi Baker with the healing in the eyes, they got those things. And shame on me going, oh, is that all it is? I've seen that one. Oh, God, I've seen this show. Can we get a new show here? You guys ever had that?
Yeah.
Shame on me. What if that was my mom's leg? Oh, you wanted a new trick. Oh, it made me think of what was his name? Harry. Oh, Jesus is here. Show me a trick. But I'm like, that was me. But here he goes. He got one leg longer than the other. He starts praying. He goes, I'm really good at this, but it's not working. And he was like, something's not right. So David took a step back. He didn't quit. He started praying. He goes, something's not right. But David will take his time. He will figure it out. My dad's excellent at that. I couldn't get my filing cabinet open up for like over a month. Finally, I was like, Dad, will you help me? Dad had to figure it out just like that. He's like, problem solved. That's how David does it with healing.
Yeah.
Then David was praying, and then he went, he goes, I got a word of knowledge, a motorcycle accident, and martial arts. He goes, were you ever in a motorcycle accident and martial arts? And the guy goes, yes! How'd you know I was in a motorcycle accident? And I was in I did martial arts all throughout high school. I don't know necessarily what's happening, but do you think that raised that guy's faith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David's going, okay. Then David went back to meditating. It's really neat to hear David's voice because David doesn't know what to do. But what does David know? David knows that Yahweh wouldn't have given him a word for this guy if something incredible is not going to happen. So the problem is not if it's not in shipping and receiving, it's in receiving and shipping. So David goes back to praying, and he gets a word of wisdom. David, you don't need to make a leg longer. You need to shorten the other leg. David had never shortened a leg before. I got to shorten a leg. Okay, that's it. David shortened the guy's leg. The guy gets up, and you get to hear. If you guys want to hear the testimonies, he got all these MRIs before and after, and the guys, and they're gonna go, man. So I need to get there.
Shorten
a leg, I remember. But it's the same thing. We do this with investing. Intention. Do it intentional. Go into it. Go, wait a minute. The pressure's not on me. He's got the pressure. Right? And even if I mess up, Peter sunk, but he's the only one that was wet that night.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yahweh will meet you. We're working. You're gonna go. In fact, you go. If it takes me 100 times, I'm gonna get this thing. And then Yahweh will communicate what He wants you to work on first. But the pressure's on Yahweh. You're gonna lengthen the leg, shorten the leg. But if He communicates, a lot of times I'm waiting for a big. I want to deliver somebody, but when I look at these guys, a lot of times it starts off with a word of knowledge and word of wisdoms, and other things. I said I need to start working on that. I guess to wrap it up, Yahweh has already given us the intention, or the invitation. Be zealous for the greater gifts. The greater gifts is whatever's needed and necessary. When it comes to prophesying, teaching, A+. I mean, we're right up here. I think we start exercising the other things. Because we won't have the greater gifts. We'll get better at it. Father, we thank you for the words. Thank you for everybody here. We thank you for Greg Phelps. And those people that ministered in my life and everybody that ministered into my family's life and the people here. I just want to take a moment to thank you for all those fingerprints that you have in Melania's life and Isaiah's life and Tim and Donna's and Dad's ever since they're kids. You being there and Sean and Izzy and even what you're doing in little Ruth. You have big dreams. We just thank you for helping us make your dreams come true because you're worth it. Mm-hmm. My sons and my daughters know that my plans are perfect and I don't stress out. So you don't stress out. Don't worry about it. Just be obedient. You have to get the word inside of you. You can't do mighty works if you don't read the word. If you're not memorizing a word, you're just setting yourself up for failure. But it's better than anything, nothing. Mm-hmm. Get the word inside you. Speak it. Memorize it. Then spend some time with me. And put some effort in this relationship. put some effort in this relationship. If somebody was dating somebody, you would at least find out what their favorite colors are, their pet peeves are, what kind of food they like, who do they not like, what kind of music do they like. Seek me out on a daily basis, first through my scriptures where I wait for you, and then communicate. Talk to me openly. Speak. Talk about our problems. Talk about these other things. And I'll meet you in the middle. You got one chance at this life, one shot, and I will make it fantastic, and you'll have incredible benefits with the least amount of regrets.
Hallelujah.